Go Loud. Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks, proudly supported by FlyFit. With 20 locations nationwide, there's always a FlyFit gym nearby to help you crush your fitness goals. Visit flyfit.ie.
What you waiting for?
Put
your back in it. Just a little more.
The Hypnoga.
Episode 186 of Talking Bollocks, brought to you by Go Loud. You still flat out in the gym, bro?
Flat, 5 days a week, non-negotiable.
FlyFit?
FlyFit, yeah. 20 of them locations all over the country.
35 quid a month, bro. Ah, it's top quality, honestly. The gyms are unbelievable. I'm flat out trying.
Flat out. And if you want one of those memberships that we're on about, where do you go, Terry?
Flyfit.ie. Go on and get yours now.
It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week, we're joined by
Ben Williams. Thanks for having me on, lads.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Pleasure, my bro.
It's a last minute thing, Ben. We were meant to have you on next week. We were let down by a guest. I'm going to say no names.
Keep it quiet, yeah.
Yeah, we're very grateful that you had to come in to fucking on very short notice, on the day that this is getting released.
Yeah, quick turnaround.
We're biting tongues here. We'll talk about it at the next live show.
We'll talk about it. Is it? Show. Yeah.
Wank. Serious scandal. Oh. Ben, would you agree?
I would agree.
Serious scandal.
What, yesterday they cancelled?
Yeah.
Not on.
Bad form, innit?
Don't release too much.
And they're next, in the building right now.
Next live show.
With no excuse. So it's just like, bad form. Anyways, let's not get hung up in it. Ben, you're here. We're grateful for that. Thanks very much, bro. How's things? How are you keeping?
I'm good, bro. Busy out. Plenty of flights this summer. I think I'm on my 86th right now from the year. From the start of the year.
So did you count these on purpose at
the start
of the year?
Because I knew it was going to be a busy one. I wanted to get 100. So
you've played plenty of time left.
Yeah, I do. 14 flights in the next, what we know, August.
Five months.
So yeah, I'll definitely get that.
Yeah, constantly. Every time I look on your Instagram, you're on a flight.
Oh, bro.
Most of your life is just on flight.
It's heavy. I'm sick of it. And Ryanair is just a lot of bollocks. Honestly, every time I get to the gate, yeah, 92 euro for them two bags.
Yeah.
It's madness. What's the story?
Calvin, at the, he loves a rant about Ryanair as well.
They caught me with that before. I was going on holidays with my missus. So we went on holidays and then coming back, your mum was like, yeah, you have to pay for that bag. I was like, if anything, my bag is lighter. I'm coming back off my holidays.
On holidays.
And I was like, I went over with the exact same bag. And she was like, no, you have to pay for that. And I was having more on me, but I was like, just pay it, will you? I was like, no, me bollocks.
I was doing the same thing. And I heard, yeah, have you got a card to pay? I was like, no. They're like, well, you can't get on. They will not let you on if you don't pay.
Yeah.
So they go on and read your card out and all. Madness.
Yeah.
Excuse me, on the Ibiza flights. They're getting rid of alcohol from Dublin to Ibiza.
Did they?
And you wouldn't think that because they're all about money.
Yeah.
So I was surprised, but them flights, they'll be heavy, man. Everyone
will want to be more on them flights.
Just everyone playing music and all, isn't it?
Speakers going.
Yeah.
It's madness.
All sorts. But it'll just be like that. And any Ryanair flight I've been on has been hectic. I've never been on a quiet Ryanair flight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But that at the gate business. And you can't pay cash.
No.
And like, did it be bleeding manhandling people at gates and all? The last time we flew, well, we were obviously in Manchester together, but the time before that, we went on the Stags and there was an incident there and somebody bleeding. They held up the whole flight for over 40 minutes because somebody wouldn't take the bag, and then he got barred from flying with Ryanair and he had to go to a different airport and all. Madness.
One comes with a gym bag and you know the box they make you put in, see if it fits. Boys, I'm telling you, it was about 3 inches like above it. Jimmy, I did squash in and they're saying, nope, not available, can't do it. 46 euro.
It's crazy, yeah.
Crazy, man.
Remember we were in Manchester and we were sitting down and there was no gate information. And we're just sitting there, next couple popped up and it's like a final call. So we're sprinting. And then we get there and there's the queue of people queuing up for priority. Sure, the plane wasn't even there.
Yeah.
So not only did the plane have to come, the other people had to get off. Then they had to board the plane.
Never on time.
Never on time. No. But like people, I don't get people who pay for priority on Ryanair and they stand up and they'd be like, well done, pal, you paid what? 10 euro more to stand in the stairwell.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit here. Like, we're all getting on the same fucking plane.
I can't understand that, really. Line up, like, we're all going on the plane at some stage, I mean.
We all have a seat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have zingers.
We do. We have about three there.
Three zingers?
Have you got zingers? Have you? Must be running.
Karen's every week looks at me and says, have you got a zinger? And then, like, I'll scribe something else somewhere. Now and then, we have another episode next week, so you think you'd go and get one, but he doesn't.
Mm. I'm all out.
Me and my mum were online last night on Google looking through them and I've seen loads that people have said before. So I was like, this must be the website.
I love how prepared you are, man. Yeah, you've missed a few episodes.
Yeah. Every night, boys. Somebody saying to Terrence that night, boys, me bored. Like, she'd be fuming. I'm not trying to sound like a fanboy. I have to put on going to sleep sometimes, because I just don't know what it is. But she'd wake up some mornings I'd say she hears you when I sleep, bro. The lingo and all. In the gaff making breakfast one morning. That's childish. Yeah. I'm saying, what? One of the mornings then as well, she's going to get an Elstone, going for an NCT. And she's Scottish. Like, you know what I mean? Oh, it's funny it is.
I was on the phone with the man the other week. And we were just chatting away. I don't know what we were talking about. And his board just jumped into the camera. He's like, I'm fucking sick of listening to you. All right, love.
Like, just, yeah. Oh, man. Boosh has come from a heavy Scottish accent to now Irish, and I blame it on you too.
Look,
honestly,
we're out there on God's work, Ben.
Amen to that.
So the zingers, Ben.
Let me whip one out. Oh, I should have a really good one, yeah? Do you have a piss in the show? Nah, actually, yeah, here's one for you. I only thought it's on the balcony there. Right, this problem you have, say it again, it's a mad word, the neuralgia.
Trigeminal neuralgia.
Right. Would you rather have that 3 days a week for the rest of your life or stop the podcast?
Stop the podcast.
Is it here?
Yeah.
Is it?
No, Ben, that's not even clear. If you said one day a week, I'd still stop the podcast.
Is it really, bro?
Yeah, it's bad, bro.
Yeah.
No, but that's a good thing.
You'd be in bits over that.
Rag on that boy.
Ben, it's called suicide syndrome.
When he's telling me, yeah.
That's what they call it, yeah. There's like, it's unbearable shit. Yeah.
Oh, it's heavy, boys. I swear to God, I hate sounding dramatic. I'm traumatised over the boys, over all last year when I had. I'm actually traumatised.
Your problem is that you've had so much other stuff going on as well. Then you get this, everyone just thinks you're crying wolf.
Yeah.
Like, he ended up in the hospital over his bleeding a sore throat, like, do you know what I mean?
I had tonsillitis and they bring me in and they're fucking sticking needles, big huge long needles in the back of my throat saying your throat is closing up, so they're injecting him with something. I was like, it's tonsillitis, they can't be in hospital.
Yeah, I always have problems going on.
Now I'm alright this year. Sicknesses.
Remember you pulled the muscle in your chest and you told everyone you were taking a heart attack?
Did I?
At the live show.
Drama Queen.
Oh, bro, that was heavy. You did it. Hold on.
I never claimed a heart attack, though.
No, but you were holding on to the banisters.
No, that's when I was sick.
No, that was the chest as well, wasn't it?
I couldn't walk. Remember, I was mad weak. I was going to take something because I felt sick.
Fucking hell. We were literally like, you know, sweet hard line comes on to the live shows and then the hip knock goes on. I look back at Calvin, like, they go, let's go. We're on. So I look back, he's holding on to the banisters.
Yeah. I felt like sick and I was going to take two tablets that day, like painkillers or something like that, and Owen stopped me. He's like, don't take them. They have something that makes you drowsy.
Yeah.
And I was going to take two of them. So he was like, you take them, like, you're going to sleep. And I was like, right, I'll just bear through it then. And I was in a jocker. I was in an awful
state. I want to see the state of him. I swear, I got a bad flight. I was like,
but then I was fresh.
Got out onto the stage. Yeah. You got it done, didn't you?
Yeah.
Show the dog, the heart attack. I took a mini heart attack and did a show as well, so we're all good.
But that's our problem, so like things like this is going on.
But you know what I do as well, Ben? I'm a cunt for like comedic value.
Yeah.
So like, I'd hope me foot and I'd make it, you know what I mean? Just for the crack, But the trigeminal neuralgia,
different story.
I can't even joke about it. Don't want to hear about it, so yeah, I'll stop the podcast.
Right.
You have another
people are messaging and being like, what? Remember people like me were saying, this is what's wrong with me, can anyone help me? And people are like, have you got an earache? And all. I had an earache and I went to the GP and got these drops. People are saying mad shit. Like,
I was like, I'm going to die here.
He's not getting pulled out.
Yeah, two teeth I lost.
But like, people are downplaying it. People are like, I think you have this. Oh, you had it last week and now I'm grand. And Darren's like, no, I'm like severely on death's door here.
Yeah, I was heavy, boys.
My body's being pushed to the pain limits. Like, do you know what I mean?
I can't, I think. Yeah, I'll stop the podcast, man.
Right. So next one was, would you rather be funniest in the room or the smartest in the room? I feel like this is a good one for you because you're very clever. You're very funny.
Sound bad. So I'm not clever and you're not funny.
Right. He's about.
Yeah, we
Calvin is an intelligent guy, you have to say.
He is intelligent.
You're a funny guy.
Funniest or smartest in the room, Cal? That's a good jinger.
It's not bad.
Trying to think of the benefit of either. Depends on the room you're in, isn't it?
You can probably make more money. No.
If you're like the smartest.
If you're the funniest.
I was going to say the funniest. Just if you're a comedian. Like, if you go into the same room as fucking Ricky Gervais and Kevin Bridges, you're funnier than them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to flip that on you and say, who's the top 10 richest people in the world? None of them are comedians.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But they've walked that ball. They have to graft so hard. Yeah. These boys have to tell jokes. I'm not downplaying it, but I'm just saying.
Jeez, I walk.
Say them boys are probably walking 18, 20 hours a day to get the word you were. Jeff Bezos and fucking all these cats, the smart ones.
Yeah.
I'm going to go the funniest in the room. So even if you're the smartest in the room, you still have to walk your bollocks off to make something and guess something and grind.
Walk smart, not hard, innit?
Yeah, that's it. That's my motto in life.
Yeah.
Fucking is, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, everything.
Home up is in the gaff and it's on the wall. I'd say funniest as well. I don't really see the benefit of being the smartest in the room. Depends on what the room is. Do you know what I mean? If you're in a meeting, in a board meeting, and someone's there cracking jokes, you're like, mate, we're literally trying to get a contract done here. Do you know what I mean? Like, fucking shut your mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with the funniest as well because why not?
Yeah. Probably got the smartest.
Yeah. Mm. You could be the smartest in this room, man.
It wouldn't be that
how
hard.
You know a lot, though. How do you know like, so much?
Me and Ben were talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, like, seriously.
Like, I don't know what's wrong with you, man.
It's a bit mad.
In terms of what, like?
You just remember everything and all the like things that you shouldn't remember.
No.
Like, if you say something to me, Ben, today, and I don't find it interesting, it's gone by 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's out of my head and I'll never remember it again. That's why people sometimes say to me, I only told you last week. I was like, in my own head, I'm like, it definitely didn't wasn't interesting enough to store.
Yeah, yeah.
You store it all, do you get me?
Well, I don't know. I don't think people educate themselves enough. This is what I'm saying. Like, I say to Terry all the time about topics. I'm like, I haven't a fucking clue about that. Fuck that. And he deliberately tries to blank it out of his mind.
Mm.
But then I was like, just like, read up on it. And like, and an hour later, he's ringing me. He's an expert on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's 1 hour worth of applying yourself. Now imagine those people out there who have like years of experience
literally
at doing that. Like, Terence hadn't a clue about politics last year. And then he came in here one day. He was like, I might run the next election. Oh, you think I'm Terence?
Do well as well.
Terence, yeah, we get it. Yeah. And he was like, it's so simple. I was like, that's politics, like, do you know what I mean? And imagine you've done that on anything, like, there's a load of shit out there. I just think people need to give themselves more credit. I don't think people are ambitious enough when it comes to stuff like that, and I think they just need a bit of belief. Like, a lot of stuff out there, it's there in front of you. You've never had more access to more information than right now. You live in the best time period that's ever been in human history in terms of resources and accessibility. Use it. Don't worry, people are like, I wouldn't know anything about that, but you can know stuff about that.
Yeah.
You can know and look at all different angles. So when you read something online, you don't have to just believe it. You can actually deconstruct that and then see who said it, what way is being said, what's it applying to, and then be like, oh, this is my opinion on it. And you're allowed to have your own opinion.
Mm.
A lot of people don't realise this.
So do you feel like you need to be interested in a topic to actually go and learn about it?
Yeah.
So like, Tom was saying the 3D test, do you keep failing this?
Yeah.
Because do you feel like, because you're
just
not,
I'm not.
You're not into it.
I don't need it either. So it's a thing of like, if I do the 3D test and drive, it's for luxury.
Mm.
Where if I needed that,
you need it on politics though.
Yeah, kind of nowadays you do, yeah.
I think you do. But
not just for the podcast, no, I just think...
For general.
But see the driving thing, I thought I'd never needed to drive. And then I started driving, I was like, what would I do without my car?
Oh, it's like having no legs and no car.
I swear to God,
like, why would you not do it?
Just location-wise for me.
Yeah, you are sweet to be fair.
Do you know what I mean, bro? Like, even walking over here, it's a 15, 20 minute walk. Yeah. That's good for me.
Mm.
I would hate, and I really mean it, I would hate to have a car, to get in the car to drive her. I'd be like, oh.
He says that he gets collected every week after the podcast.
No. I do, but like, I don't need that. I like the walk.
Yeah.
And then where I'm located, like, you know what I mean? Everything.
Don't really need it,
yeah. Me ma's is close. Me auntie's is close. Me walk is close.
Yeah.
Everything. I would literally be driving for luxury, so I don't really give a fuck about it.
You say that, but then I promise you, Terry, you start driving and then you'd be like, what the fuck?
Ah, it's great.
I promise you, me.
But it would be luxury, yeah.
Yeah, but technically we're all driving for luxury, aren't we?
Well,
but
not really. Some people have to drive to get to work, but I mean, they can commute.
But like,
yeah,
you say that. Like, I used to not drive. I used to walk, and I used to have Harper, and I used to get around without it. And then I started driving. I was like, Jesus Christ! Imagine I didn't have the car now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do you have any more singers?
Yeah, there's one more. Would you rather every time you hear a song, you have to dance to it or to sing it out loud?
Sing it out loud.
Would it be, yeah? In the shop and the song comes on.
No problem.
Belt it out.
No problem.
You a good singer?
No.
Right, fair enough.
I like the honesty, yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
If it was a good singer, I wouldn't be doing a podcast.
Mm.
Yeah.
How about you?
Dance, bro. Oh, yeah. I'm like a
back
bag
in the shop,
no? Hats, bro. Say it all. Calvin, why does this keep coming up as well? It's something about singing.
You have an awful fear of singing.
Yeah, bro. Bad. Bad.
Why?
Don't. If you're a bad singer, don't sing.
True.
Don't sing around me if you're a bad singer. I can't cope with it, boy.
Just ruin some songs. Like, you don't want to play songs at this.
Bro, with some songs you'll never listen to again.
Yeah.
Of a Calvin.
Mm. You're a bad singer.
Yeah. I was in a pub a few weeks ago and a fella started singing a song. I remember thinking, like, Jesus Christ, mate, you're at the butcher and that. Like, but no one's going to say it to you.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in here tomorrow night and you're going to sing it again.
Literally.
But it's a karaoke. Do you know what gets me now when I think of bad singers? I think of karaoke nights in pubs, you know, when everyone gets drunk. And I get it, it's a bit of crack, but it's not to me. I don't like it. Stop singing. Do you get me? You're just screaming into the mic and I'm like, I just want
to...
There's no better than getting into your car and the song comes on, you're just building it out.
Yeah, I don't have it in me locker. But
I was just talking to myself driving in today. I was singing a song and it knocked off on the radio like mid-song and I was like, I was fucking enjoying that. And I'm like, who am I giving out to? I'm giving out to myself, do you know what I mean?
I'm not surprised by that.
I was like, I was fucking in the zone there I was, and then they knocked it off. I was like, I'm fucking enjoying that. As if someone was at the knocking off beside me. Like,
yeah.
Oxy buzz.
What was you going with?
Probably dance, yeah.
You definitely can't sing, can you?
Mm, Nah, I don't think so.
Give us a song.
Why don't you do the vocals on that next song?
I want to actually do want to do it in the future.
Yeah.
Put on vocals on it. That was my plan.
Yeah.
But I don't know when we're going to do it yet.
Like, it's just in the singing and rapping.
You could just MC on it, but really. Like, yeah. Robbie G done it with forever. Jack Jones, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I could do something like that.
Yeah.
Or listen, I might get in, build out a few melodies or something.
Sure. What goes
down? I'll chewing at the bits.
Yeah, I would. You'd have to.
Yeah.
Like Travis Scott. You're doing mad stuff nowadays, like on the producer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, make you sound completely different.
Yeah.
Make a different person altogether.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but.
Ben Williams on the song sounded like Kendrick Lamar. You're like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Didn't know we had that in the locker. Yeah. You know, all those young the bits. Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Ben, they were good singers. I have to give it to you.
Yeah, fair play. You've done more homework with this podcast than Terrence has in the last year.
And you brought in Clobber for us as well. We'll have to give it that.
Sort the boys out.
Fair play. Yeah, we get it now.
You want to get your act together?
No, we might have fallen off. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah.
I'm not heard the knowing about it. Get me brown hair, haven't I? Yeah, I'm here. Look, listen.
Came in late today, absolutely wrote off.
That's not
all coming out now, isn't it? Yeah, for fuck's sake.
Got a gym last night, and I was in my toy yesterday. Yeah.
Boys, I am broke up, dude. Yeah. Ben, you have a fight coming up.
I do.
Before we get into the fight, actually, the video that can't show us.
Yeah. Mm. So, give a bit of background. Our first live show was March 2022.
Yeah.
Before that, Kane, our videographer, why the fuck were we in my gaff?
It was the day of the live show.
We were in my mask gaff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were just sitting there a few hours before going to Liberty Hall.
And then
he was in the kitchen. We were all squashed on the table and all. Mm. And he was just following us around. And we walked from my mask gaff, which is in Shamrock Dairy, down to Liberty Hall. So we walked down by Liberty House, Talbot Street, Star Street. Terrence went in, said hello to his mates. We were at Bus Artist then.
I'll say hello to the boys.
And when we were at Bus Artist then, we bumped into you, Ben.
Yeah, yeah. I was actually going to the live show that night as well. So when I seen you, I was like, oh, way.
And we were only had to been looking at the video before we come in. Yeah. And how young you look.
Oh, no, man.
And you look chubby in it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What story
and
there,
the man? Face back
the baby
face. Yeah, but in the video then, what did he say in the video?
I'm up and coming.
I'm on the come up, or something he said.
Oh, guys, you have to get me on soon, boys. I'm on the come up.
Yeah.
And here we are.
At 2.5 years later.
We're hooked up at 2.5, yeah.
You kept me waiting, his bad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so.
It's great to look. Like when Kane said it to me, he put it in this morning and texted us and said, look at this video that I have for the episode today, and then we came in and seen it. I was like, that's mad to look back on. Because we all look so young. It was only 2.5 years ago.
Literally.
But like the stage we were at, that was our first ever live show.
Yeah.
You were going to our first ever live show. We bump into you that day and you're like, I'm on the come up, we'll be on soon and whatever.
There you go, boys.
Manifestation.
You was into the manifestation, boys.
Yeah, I'm mad into it, bro. Mad into it.
Yeah, he's not into it. No, but it's like...
You, Teddy.
No. More like visualization, I think.
We would go hand in hand with them.
But not on purpose. You know, I hear people talk about visualization and they're like, they focus on. I just feel like in my life, so many things have happened that I've thought about. Mm. Like, imagine I could get there one day, but I didn't like focus on it. And then I'm there and I'm like, is that because
it
was in my head somewhere? I don't know. Like, do you get me?
I'm mad into it now myself.
But I just think it's childish because...
I like that.
No, because like, do you know, like, let's be adults about it, right? If you look at a football team, I guarantee you, Pep Guardiola has took Man City into the dressing room and said, this is the plan for the end of the year. We're going to have the Premier League, we're going to be in this final and we're going to be doing this. Yeah, and that's the goal. You're setting a tag, you're setting a goal.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we sit down every couple of weeks and we make a plan.
Yeah.
So for the next few weeks, this gets, that gets, that gets, bang, and then this or whatever. Or if you're going to do a live show, here's your live show, bang. Mm. You're setting a goal, you're setting a target.
But I think you also have to be realistic.
But yeah, but you're setting, I mean, it's a plan, you know what I mean? Whereas
but
some
I don't
people,
think manifesting works as in, like, I'm going to sit here and go, I'm going to be a billionaire by January 2025, 5 months to do it, and I'm going to be a billionaire, and I'm going to focus on that every day. It's not realistic.
No, but this is what I'm saying, you're making a plan, you're setting a target. Everyone does it, companies do it all the time. Here's our sales target for the following quarter, or whatever it may be, or we're going to launch this product. That's your plan. They don't manifest that and it just happens, you know what I mean? So, I don't know why people have to be early-firty about it. Because then, on the flip side of that, when people start talking about stuff like in the universe and this is happening, people are like, oh, what the fuck you're on about? We're talking about stuff like that.
Crystals and all. That's,
Do you know, like people are talking about astrology and all. Oh, I'm in a bad mood today because my star sign. Like, what are you on about? Like,
When it affects your behaviour day to day, I think that's a bit madness. But we do agree with you there, setting targets. But then with the visualisation, I think it does go hand in hand. And then, like, even when you said, I want to be a billionaire by January, I know. Like you can say it's impossible, but I feel like you will be financially better in January if you set that higher target.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're shooting so high and I got to fall short. But you will be more financially better by January than you would have been if you didn't set the target. You know what I mean? Go back to Calvin, it is just setting a target and walking towards it. We'd rather call it the law of action than the law of attraction. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course. Taking action. Exactly. You're taking affirmative action and doing something.
Yeah.
You're not sitting.
Yeah.
So you're making progress. You're moving forward.
Yeah.
But when I think about visualization now, the only reason why I even have any sort of thought on it is when I got back to long before I was doing the podcast, I was drinking, doing drugs, in the gutter, and I always thought about doing a podcast and having a success. And I used to say this to my brothers and all, they still refer that back to me now, like, remember you used to always say about you're going to do a podcast, it's going to be successful, blah, blah, blah. And here I am. Do you get me? And I'm like, what? Where the fuck did that come from?
Mm.
I don't know. So it's just that kind of thing. I
do believe everything happens for a reason as well. And
yeah.
Yeah. But you do need to put action into your vision. You know?
Yeah, of course, course, course. You're sitting
like I've had people reach out to me like, oh, I manifested the house I'm living in, the layout of it and all. And I'm like, it doesn't work like that.
No, you thought about it and you wanted it that way and you got it done that way.
People need more cop on. They need to be more realistic with their life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And as you said, if you set a goal and you walk towards it, you will be in a better position in January than you would be now. Exactly. It may not be at your target, but you still be better. Yeah. And I think a lot of people need to do that. Just apply yourself more and be like, I'm going to walk towards something. But like, have an ambition. You will be a more positive person and it will affect your life.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the house one's a bit mad, but yeah, I think everything happens for a reason. You know what I mean? And if you think positively towards something, it will come, you know.
At the right time.
But yeah, I believe in it to a big extent.
Yeah.
But yeah, charging crystals, madness.
Ben, you have a fight coming up.
Yes. When? Wasn't for the 21st of August. So, what, 23 days away now? And yeah, it's in the Tree Arena, sold out on Misfits Boxing. Okay, so it's the headline, just pulled out. And yeah, so the fella on boxing, his name is Warren Spencer. He's from the UK. I don't know if you call him an influencer. He's known for being with the Tates and Joe and Tristan. So he kind of blew off being around them because he is really good friends with them, and they kind of got him a lot of clout. He's an ex-MMA fighter. He's handy now. I reckon it'll be my toughest fight to date, but I'm going to kill him. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's simple.
Yeah, you're looking
sharp. I'm buzzing for it. I'm looking sharp.
We bumped into all his mates in Manchester.
Yeah, actually, remember this?
Oh yeah,
remember he walked up to us?
Yeah,
he's training hard.
Yeah,
wanna be.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Getting in the fight.
Tom was watching, he's gonna start doing laps of the arena now.
So we bumped into you at the UFC there last week and we were standing in the what would you call it, the foyer part, and these two fellas come over and they were suiting and built.
Yeah, you're looking fresh.
They were like, where is friend? And I was like, oh, all right, grand, yeah. And they were fucking texting him and all, and he was texting back in fairness. He was like, be nice to Ben, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could have said, like, fucking wind him up or whatever. And the man goes, yeah, he's training hard. I was like, well, he's having a fucking fight. Like, I'd imagine he's gonna be training. Like, what's that supposed to mean? You're supposed to be like going squats now.
Yeah,
what am I doing, boys? He's actually training for this.
Yeah, the idea to do of that was mind games, but done a bad job, to be honest.
Yeah. You could have said something better, like,
he's sparring my toys in there.
Yeah, you want to see what he's doing.
Yeah,
he's training hard, or he's sound pal. Yeah,
nice.
Enjoy the night there.
Seen a bit.
Yeah.
That was a bit mad, that was, yeah. But
this is your second fight on Misfits. Can we talk about how big Misfits is, by the way, boys? Like, it's called
off.
Misfits on purpose. So, like, it's not meant to be the most serious boxing thing. They do 2v1 mad things. Yeah. It's pure entertainment.
Definitely.
Yeah. But the fucking money these boys are generating. This fight that you have coming up is 31st of August,
In
the Tree Arena. The same night as Coldplay, Calvin.
Yeah.
And it sold out in minutes, didn't it? Like,
yeah.
It just sold out.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, how the fuck are they doing this?
I know. Do you know what it is? It's because, like, these people that are boxing are YouTubers, TikTokers that have major fan bases, you know what I mean? Like, loyal fans, like you do. Like, imagine you box, bro. You'd have a lot of people in, you know what I mean?
I said to Terry, I say all the time, you're going pro, I have to be his manager.
Yeah.
Oh, genuinely, I'm dead
serious. Commission.
Terrence, I said this loads of times, Ben. I said, I'm telling you now, Terry, I'd sell tickets with you if I was promoting you.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. And you do very well, you know what I mean? And that's why it does so well, because these people that are coming on, these loyal fan bases, and they want to see them box, you know what I mean? Because they're watching them the whole time on YouTube, TikTok, whatever it is, and then they get to see them in person then, in a ring, fighting another person that they know, you know what I mean? So it's a pure, great concept. And I think, like, professionals, boxers are a bit salty on it, because, let's be real, some of these are getting paid more than professionals.
Yeah.
And let's be real again, they're not putting... They are putting in work,
but that life isn't that.
It's not that life, you know what I mean? The pros have been boxing, nothing else, missing nights out for the whole life, dedication. These guys are coming on a year's training, EV and that, you know what I mean? And they're getting paid more and they're getting more publicity. But like it's a business before a sport, boys. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah, that's just facts. It's the hard truth, but yeah, that's what I think pros are on that salty.
And they all say like, oh, it's bad for the sport. It's only bad for the sport because I think it's exposing the sport. It's exposing the politics behind the sport and how the matchmaking works and how this promoter is getting X amount and how this fighter is getting shafted. It's just exposing it.
It is.
Just being like, how come we can sell out an arena, pay this fella X amount and he's only boxing a wet day? Yeah. Whereas this fella has, he's the most decorated amateur in his country, went to the Olympics, and he's struggling to find opponents.
Yeah.
And you can't sell tickets. No. What's going on there?
Yeah.
So it's exposing the sport. It's not dampening the sport. It's opening a new audience to boxing.
Yeah.
The level, don't get me wrong, the levels are miles apart. Yeah. 100%.
Miles apart.
Now, nobody's saying like that this fella can box now with a fucking world champion boxer. But
no,
in terms of the events and the promotion and what they're doing,
yeah,
they're exposing how much they're getting shafted on the pro side.
Definitely. No, I agree with you there 100%. And I think it's improving it in a way to get more people into it. But like, definitely, with all these kids, obviously, in that younger generation, from all these YouTubers and whatnot. So they're going to be getting kids in sport to start boxing, get into boxing clubs, get off the streets. So I think that's great. 100%, you know what I mean?
Ben, and that's it. That's exactly my thought process every time I see these cards and things like that.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the big YouTubers, the big TikTokers, and there's so many big kids and teenagers looking up to them. Yeah. Look at all the fucking trouble on the streets, boys. Especially in the UK, boys.
Yeah.
Where in terms of like kids growing up and knife crime and things like that.
Yeah.
These kids can be inspired by these YouTubers and TikTokers and get into a boxing club, and that'll be the best thing for any kid out there.
No,
I really believe that any combat sport for a kid, in terms of like anger, discipline, everything, boys.
Routine.
Get so many benefits off boys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so easy to get caught up.
We were saying out there on the balcony, when you go in and have a spar off someone that's better than you, you feel great after. And we agree with that so much. It humbles you, you know what I mean? That ego you have in the gym, you go in and get the head thumbed off you. That ego's gone, you know what I mean?
I said many times, boys, when you get humbled, when you get better around by someone in the gym, boys, there's this mad feeling that you have for days after where you're like, I'm just a fucking angel. Just going up the spine, I just got to hide. And it's good.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know, boys. I do enjoy it.
It is good.
It's weird saying you enjoy smacking the mouth. But it does something to you, doesn't it?
Humbles you wrong.
It's a mad old feeling.
So you're not bulletproof.
Feeling. Yeah, sometimes you can, boys. Sometimes your ego can get in the way and you're thinking, situation, if this happened or that happened, or if you're in a bad mood and you're thinking mad things, then you get humbled in the gym and you go, Jesus Christ, people out there that can kill me and say if you want, you know? It's just a realisation. But you had this is your second fight on Misfits, Ben.
Yeah, yeah.
Your first fight on Misfits.
Yeah, that was in January 20th in Leeds.
That was big for you.
Yeah, that was a make or break moment, really.
How did that come about?
So, they were always looking at me because...
I done
one in Dubai.
And the Kingpin one here as well.
Yeah, and then I was in York Hall in November and I went to watch it and I had beef with your man Ed Matthews at the time through social media and that, and I seen him there and I wasn't even going to do one. I kind of wanted to just like squash that and leave it. And then you want Elle Brooke, she has millions of followers, she was like, go in and put it on him, start recording it. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, can't bother now, you know what I mean? So I went in, so what's up, like, do you know what I mean? We had a face off and all the week before, and then we had a bit of a scrap in there and got dragged over. Then he texted me the next day saying like, they wanted to ban you after that because it doesn't look good in the business. But I was like, yeah, it's the game laying 10 million views on Twitter, mate. And your business, right? And they're like, true. Dummy fighting the boy, won that. Literally right after the fight, I got a text off the gaffer, Mams Taylor, saying, welcome to Misfits. So, yeah, we're negotiating for a few weeks about a contract. And then, signed it up, got on, and got me first fight. I was over in Amsterdam, it was the 20th of December. And then they just said, look, we need a last minute fight for this card in Leeds. Do you want to jump on? There's an ex-pro here. We know you're good. And I didn't know where to take it on because it was only going to be a 4 weeks training camp and Christmas was literally about to come up. But he said, look, when the opportunity arises, you take it. So I said, yeah, let's go. Literally poster up that night. It's kind of like this, isn't it? Jumping on and up that night. So yeah, they announced it and took the fight. Had a 4 week lead up. Got sick and all on the lead up to it. So I only really had 3 weeks training camp. So, and went over. I was 3 kilos below the weight. He was coming down from like 75. There's a lot of pressure on me, man. He was an ex-pro. All I heard about him was he trained with Roy Jones Jr. for a long time. He was in Mayweather's gym for a few months living in LA and that. And he used to spar Devin Haney. So for me, it was, it was tough. Like,
it's not a bad resume for him.
A good one, to be fair, yeah. But,
what were you thinking going into it?
I'm not going to lie, bro. I got into a dark place, to be honest, especially on fight week when I went over. I went over on my own. Flew over to Manchester to my medical. Went up to Leeds then. And when I walked into the hotel, this fella had about 10 to 11, 12 people around them.
Big entourage, like?
Big entourage, yeah. All his family and his team. Team Batista, tracksuits. Mate, he was going around with a megaphone saying, fuck Ben Williams and all, I'm over there on my own. Like, my coaches couldn't come over because they are working. My brother's in Spain. My man and dad couldn't come over because they are working. So I'm literally in there on my own in the tracksuit, like, saying, what am I supposed to be going with? Down here, you know what I mean? Up in the room all day, in my thoughts, just walking around Leeds. I'm like, didn't know anybody over there, you know what I mean? So it was a really tough one for me. And then it really got to me. And then come the Tuesday and Wednesday when I was like, start doing the media stuff, I was breaking down, to be honest. Again, just in the room, contemplating whether to do it or not. This close to dropping out, rang my man and dad. I said, look, I don't want you just coming over. All the family, all my friends and all had flights booked over. I said, listen, we don't want any of us coming. They're like, what do you mean? I was like, look, I'm going to get knocked out here. I don't want you there when this happens. In my head, the vision I had was just me getting sparked out on the zone, going viral on TikTok. That's all I could see. It was a horrible, weird experience because normally I am confident. I'm a confident kid. And this was just different because the pressure got to me. And then, yeah, it came to the Wednesday.
You know, that's like, sorry if I couldn't across you, that's such a normal feeling. Remember, was it Tyson Fury that was talking about hating the lead up to a fight, and then Tom O'Carty was in here before saying,
whether to crash a car.
When he did the episode, he was like, have I just bleeding once his car off something?
Yes.
And saying, I can pull out a fight.
Tell me this, bro, and that, like, that resonated so well with me because I was thinking of ways, like, what if I walk down the stairs and break my ankle or something, or what if we do something to get me out of this? So I was thinking of so many ways.
So many fighters think like that, like on fight week, because obviously hard. The pressure starts mounting. Yeah. And then as well, like the likes of Tomo and yourself, like they're big cards as a point on. Like,
I know it's not professional boxing, but like,
thousands anyways.
Yeah, I know it's misfits and it's a high level. Like there's going to be 3,000 people there. It's in a huge arena. It's on the zone. So it's the biggest I've ever done, you know what I mean? I've never DJed in front of 2,500 people before, even at that, you know what I mean? So it's the biggest crowd I was ever going to walk out there. My family are going to be there. And yeah, it got to me. But anyways, I told my family to not come over. I told my board not to come over. And they're all like, they're sadly upset. You know what I mean? For me, my dad was like, oh, can I come over to you? And I was like, no, I don't want anybody here. And then, I don't know what happened then when I flipped the switch. I'd done the open workout on the Wednesday. This is when I started getting a bit better. So I hadn't even got a coach to go to the open workout with. So my manager, Lee, he was like, look, I know a guy down here. His name is Padraig. He's a gym close boy. Go down to him now. It was about 3 o'clock. The open workout was at 5. I was going down and do a bit of pads. I said, right, flew down, went down. Boys, I've never jailed with someone so much in my life. This fellow was just on the ball. Shout out to Padraig McDonough from Golden Team in Leeds. So went in, just bonded so well. Like, he just lifted me up, like, majorly. Went in and we just glued on the pads. So good. Done about 4 or 5 combos for about 40 minutes. Got them on point. Could have done more practice, to be honest, but we hadn't got time. Went to the open workout and smashed it. And that gave me that little boost back.
Was that the one when you were in the Irish year?
Yeah. So I smashed that. Didn't miss a beat on the combos. Everyone was like, oh, you're looking sharp, you're looking sharp. That kind of gave me that little boost then, you know. So got back to the hotel then. Was in a bit of humor. I was like, Roy, rang me man that. I said, look, it's on now. It's back on. Gave him that little spark. And they were like, Roy, lovely.
Listen earlier.
Yeah, so then rang me poor. She flew in that night. Then I said, look, get on the first flight and come over. I need you here, you know what I mean? So she gave me that good support when she got there. And then my coaches arrived in on the Thursday. We got better again then when they came. I was talking to them. They were giving me pep talks. The Thursday was the press conference. And then I was still like, say, 60% there, not 100 yet. Still kind of having them bad thoughts and that. Went into the press conference and smashed that out of the park as well. I remember I took the forged steel can. I knocked the prime one down, put that on. And then I gave quite a queso kind of forged steel and butchered that man. And I went viral over TikTok. When I started seeing the numbers coming in, everyone was buzzing for me then. That got me to about 80%. And then on the Friday, done the face-offs and a few interviews. And then that just kind of got me to that 100% then when all of us finished. And then my board was there, my family were coming over, coaches were there. Just everything went good. I was like, right, ready to rock. But the last thing that kind of got me that little spark was, remember, it was on the Saturday then before I left to go to the arena. Just chilling in the room, bags packed, ready to go. And Khalees just goes, I need an iron. So I'm going to walk downstairs. I was like, great sound. And remember, I had the secret book and I was reading it on the lead up to the fight. And the way I got the secret, it was actually a good story. So my partner, Carl, who I DJ with, he was only 16, was at the time when this happened. He was stabbed in the face on, Boxing Day? Well, it's not Boxing Day, Stephen's Day. I'm just saying Boxing Day, I'm not even talking about boxing. So Stephen's Day, Carl was stabbed and nearly died over. Like, it was a madness. And I went to see him in hospital on the 28th and his brother came in. I was like, look, I'm going to give you this book to Carl. I was like, what's this book? He goes, The Secret. I was like, I've always heard about this book and I've never really read it. And he's like, you need to read this for your fight. This would be very beneficial for you. So was like, great, it was on my mind then. That night I was on a run, 5K down the canal. I just came to your head, might get that book. So I remember I seen my brother's gaff that's on the canal. So I was like, I'm going to jog back down, I'm going to jump into him and see if it's there. And when I got to the gates, my brother's board was outside, it was actually a whole book. And she's in the car, what am I having a smoke? I was like, what's happening? Where's that secret? Have you got it up there? I'm going to grab it. She's like, no, it's actually in your house. I brought it around for your mother a few weeks ago. I was like, really lovely. Ran around, opened the press, and there I was just staring at me. I was like, really, I'm going to start reading this. And couldn't get into it majorly at the start, but then I started getting into it. The visualization was a big part of it. So I started doing that, leading up to the fight. And then I remember when I picked it up that night on the Saturday, when Cleese left the room, it was like a chunk left and looked like it had loads left. I was like, I'll just read a few pages. But when I looked at it, there's only 4 pages left. You know, the context and that, the credits and all that, they were all at the end. So it looked like there was more. And yeah, I read them last 4 pages and my God, just the last few words of it just resonated with how the movie was going to go. I can't remember. I'd love to go back and read it now and actually have it for now. But It was something like, you got this, everything you want in your life is about to happen right now. Do you know what I mean? And then I got a text message off one of the boys saying, like, look, this is your time to shine. And them two, that text in them last few pages was like, really, let's go. You know what I mean?
Buzzing.
Pumped up. Like, the transition from the start of the week to the end of the week was then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, from wanting to pull out and could see myself getting knocked out, all I could see now was me winning. And I had these 4 visualizations in my head then from reading them last 4 pages. It was me sparkling out, me getting on the ropes and putting my hand up to my family, my hand getting raised, and then saying, I guess we'll never know.
So that is class, by the way. So myself, you obviously had that plan. Obviously, you had a plan
before.
But the edit then that you did.
Yeah.
So you have a video where it's like the fucking highlights of the fight, and then he wins. And then when he gets his hand raised, he just says, I guess we'll never know. But
with Kanye, yeah. Little. So I seen a video that like last summer. It was actually James Doyle, shout out to Protein Boy. He got his graduation and he looked back and goes, I guess we'll never know. And I was like, that's deadly, that is. So I saved it.
Alvin did it as well at the podcast.
yeah, it's good, it is, yeah. So yeah, I wanted to do it.
Iconic.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Yeah, it's great.
It's just a shame how it's all panned out for that fella, but like,
yeah. No,
it's so iconic though.
Yeah, but so yeah, I had that pre-planned for me fighting Dubois and I just slipped my mind and my hand got rest.
Yeah.
I was like, well, obviously it happened for a reason now. If we do it for that, we worked out well there. But yeah, I had them 4 visualizations. I just kept thinking about them then. And I stopped thinking about me getting knocked out, which is a better visualization.
Yeah.
And yeah, knocking him out, hand getting raised, looking up to my family on the ropes, and I guess we'll never know. I just, in my mind, boom, like,
over and over,
you know what I mean? So, went in, I just kept thinking about that. I remember just lying down, AirPods in, that's all I kept thinking about. I remember when I walked out then, to go and fight, AirPods was a bit delayed, because the fight before that, the scorecard or something, they were taking a bit longer on that. And I remember, I'm there, it's just me and him, and he's shadow boxing, he's hitting the wall and all this, making noise, like, us, us, us.
He's a bit of a madman, wasn't he?
He's a madman, yeah. Mad Lady Gaga hit. But yeah, so he's trying to like intimidate me, and I'm just standing there, he's pure warming up, and I'm just standing there, not moving a muscle, again, close my eyes, thinking them 4 things, and even the misfits lads are like, Ben, keep warm, like, it's about 10 minutes, like, standing there, and I'm like, no, close my eyes, just thinking, and he's pure looking at me like that, you know what I mean? And he's hitting the walls, and I'm like, no. All I can see is this, and it's about to happen. So he walks out, we walk out, and like the reception I got was amazing. You know what I mean? Walked out to boards in the sky, it only dropped, and like, so it was just a buzz of it. You know what I mean? And then went in, smashed it, picked him apart, got the win, and yeah, the rest is history.
Class.
But yeah, it built so much character. You know, I just know now, not that I'm bulletproof, but it can change my mindset.
Yeah.
I mean, if shit gets hard, which it will, obviously life gets hard, but you can always just flip that mindset, and. Yeah.
It's class. That was a big moment for you, I think.
Big time. Because as I said, like, make or break. Like, I feel like if we lost that, I wouldn't have been all down the drain, but it would have been like a big loss. You know what I mean? It was either a big win or a big loss. So.
But I think people forget as well sometimes that you're only 20. Like, you're a kid, like, you know what I mean? Literally. And you're doing these things, like, and that fight on Misfits for me, seeing you winning that was like, right, this is a big step for him now.
Yeah.
Because you're so young. You've so much ahead of you know what I mean? Now you have this other fight in Misfits.
Yeah.
And like you said, like you're an influencer, like you're a boxer, you have your hands and blade and everything.
Yeah.
Like this next fight, if you knock your man out in spectacular fashion,
yeah.
You just know TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, exactly. Everything. It's just viewers, 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 more people know you.
I know.
And then I don't know how many people watch them Misfits cards, but it'd be in the hundreds of thousands, would it?
Yeah, for sure, yeah, definitely. Especially when there's a big headline which KSI's on this one. But he's not boxing now, he's performing, but
yeah.
Like,
the Zone wouldn't have her on if they didn't know there's going to be an audience.
Yeah, exactly. As well as that. But like, as you said, like, I'm only 20 and people just think I'm an influencer. I do TikTok and that, but like, look, we're just all human, you know what I mean? And even on the lead up to that fight as well, I forgot to mention, my good mate passed away. So that kind of had an effect on me as well. And then training and that. Because I grew up in the boxing club, and then seeing him do that, committing suicide at such a young age was hard to take, you know, confused me a lot. But look, we're all human, and a lot of people need to realise that, you know. So
yeah,
I done that for him, and he had him on the shorts and that, and yeah, that was very good for me, you know what I mean? That win was huge for the career.
Mm.
But yeah, on to the next now.
Yeah, brought out a documentary there as well.
Yeah.
Hectic, is it called?
Did you watch it?
Hectic, I watched it. It's fucking class.
Thank you, brother.
It was absolutely class. Who did that for you? Who recorded all that?
Yeah, so shout out to the lads, Kieran Wilson and Max. I can't pronounce his second name, but he's Latvian, but the legends, yeah. He approached me in January and he said, look, we're filmmakers. We've done short films before, but we want to do a big project on you. And yeah, he absolutely smashed the boys. It was a two-man job, and it took 7 months. I was pure film, and like on the leader, like, boys, when's this out? You know what I mean? But they're like, look, bro, let it take its time.
It'd be worth it, yeah.
And I was worth it. Yeah. Like, oh my God, the production on it was outrageous.
Have you seen it? No, I only came out yesterday.
You only sent me, I was in bed last night. Like, what's that? I was like, put that on, I'll be asleep.
Yeah, but we done a premiere in the Black Forest there on Tuesday, and yeah, it was a great home. Even at the end, the bit with Nain, family and all, yeah, everyone was shedding tears. It was touched the heart, you know what I mean? But the two boys absolutely killed it. They were me gaffing off for like 5 days straight, recording me board, me man, the forge, doing interviews, just us chilling, you know what I mean? And that's why I think it was so good, because it brings it apart to me that you don't see, you know what I mean? Just who I am, you know? Which we wanted to do for so long. Because you only see 10 seconds of me mostly on TikTok, or whatever, 20 seconds, you know what I mean? Where it's a clip of me DJing. Only the highlights you get to see me, really. So showing people the part of me when I'm training, and it's... I know it's still on a camera, but yeah, it's kind of, it's not the highlights, you know?
Yeah.
And then just my day-to-day life, what I do, you know?
Do you get a lot of hate on social media, Ben?
I'm sure we all do, but yeah, I definitely do, yeah. But
I feel like more...
I think I definitely get a bit more than most people, because I think it comes down to jealousy in a way. Like, there's nobody else really doing what I'm doing, and because I'm so young and I'm not successful yet, but I'd like to say I'm doing well.
I'd say you're successful.
Yeah, well, it's on the way anyway. I'm doing well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know, this country, like, they're great supporters, but the greatest haters as well, you know what I mean? And they love to see us doing good, but not better, you know what I mean? And I just think it comes down to jealousy and envy most times, you know? I think a lot of people would love to be doing what I'm doing, you know? And I don't think many people have the balls to go and do it. Like, it took me a while to get out there, you know? We never had the balls, and we used to have that perception on some people that we wanted to be like, oh, what's he, who do you think he is? Not, but we wanted to be these type of people, you know? And when you kind of just drop your ego and say, look, I'm going to go and do that, and put my mind away and get there, you're going to get hit along the way regardless, you know what I mean? It's always from that user 12749, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just, we just think they're robots. I never, ever put, like, give attention to it. We just smile and wave and use it as motivation, really, you know what I mean? But there's going to be a day where they're all going to respect it, and I think it's coming soon, so.
It's the best way to do it as well. Do you know what I do now, Ben? Just delete it and block.
Yeah.
Swear.
I don't even delete them sometimes.
I'm like, I just got into this mindset a few months ago where someone comments something negative, I just I just block them.
Yeah.
The comment is gone. I'm just human. Because I don't need to.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Like, this is my, bro, my page, all commenting on it.
Winners don't hate, losers do, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you wouldn't see a successful businessman hating on someone that wants to start a business, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But a loser or someone that's not doing well in their life and it's not happy, they're the ones that I hate.
Yeah.
Because what else has got to be doing rather than leaving these comments on the videos now, you know? Well, yeah, don't let it get to me at all. We use it as motivation if I am, but I do have a lot of fans and people that support me as well, so I'm very grateful for them, you know?
Yeah. Just a little more. Ben, take us back a little bit as well there. Tell us what life is like growing up for you, where you're from.
Yeah, so I was born in Dinard Avenue. Sorry there.
You're right, aren't
I? Remember that one? It was sound, bro. Just, I was always sporty. Started football at about 8 or 9. And then we moved up to Bluebell. Went to school there in primary school. And then that's how I got into boxing through a school programme. So Michael Carruth from Dunedin Boxing Club was doing the school programme. And we went and done it. Remember, we were on the bike on the first day, and I was just hitting the bike, first hour session, not knowing what was that. And he sat down beside me and was like, where'd you box out of? I was like, don't box, first session. He was like, I want you down here tonight at 6 o'clock, and walked away. I was like, what? So continued on the session, went home, and I was saying it to my dad. I was like, your man down there was like, he wants me down in the boxing club tonight. And my dad used to box as well, and my granddad. They never went too far in it, but I only found out actually Tuesday night after the premiere. Phil Sutcliffe was telling me great granddad, Larry, my dad's granddad obviously, was went professional league and he was an Irish champion in that and he was very, very good. So obviously in the blood there, you know.
Yeah.
And it was good to hear that, you know. So anyway, he just told me that and he was like, yeah, let's get you down. And he was like, he just basically forced me, he was like, bring you down. Went down that night, 6 o'clock. And I walked in and my guy was like, ah, there he is. Brought me in. And yeah, I could say I was kind of a natural. I like, I just had it in me, kind of done 4 weeks of training and I got fucked into the leagues. Like, you shouldn't really go in there on 4 weeks training. And we actually ended up winning them. So yeah, they were very happy with that. And they're like, look, there's a bit of talent here, obviously. The coaches were happy with how I was doing. And yeah, I just kept going. Flat eye, sparring all the time. My next competition was the Dublin Championships, won that as well. And then I remember my first All-Irelands, would have been about 8 months later, went into that and I got robbed in the semi-final. Bad. Remember my coach breaking chairs in the stadium and all, like it was a madness. But that was a bit of a setback as well. Like that kind of got me down a lot because it's a horrible feeling, like thinking you won the fight and then getting told no. But went back at it, done it for 3 years then. Went to Canada, won over there. Leinster champion, never won the All-Irelands. Should have won that first one, but is what it is. Dublin's won them 8 times, so had about 30 amateur fights, so it was handy enough, you know. And then broke my ankle then in November 2019, and that's when I stopped. So yeah, that was a bit of a hard time, to be honest, because obviously I was always playing football, always boxing, active kid, you know. And then I remember it was a weird time because I went into fourth year and then I broke my ankle, and I could have skipped fourth year. So when I was in there then, in the cast and all, and I was looking and saying, what are we even doing here, just sitting around all day? Like, we could be in fifth year now, ready to do that in sixth year and go. And then I got like a kind of depressed, it was only really depressed chapter of my life really during that time, because obviously I couldn't do what I wanted to do, box, football. And then I was in this poxy transition year, saying like, oh, my mates are in fifth year now, where did I do this? We thought it was going to be good for like doing all these business courses and all that, you know. And it was just pure bollocks. And then COVID hit, so I missed half of the year, so it was a pure like waste of a year when I could have went into fifth year and finished off. But we ended up dropping out of school then because I didn't want to go in. I was like that upset and that depressed, you could say, that didn't want to go into school then when COVID period finished and everyone was going back in. I was like, not going back in, haven't got a head for it. I was only in my cast, could barely walk. I was in physio at the time, learning how to run again and that, because it was a pretty bad fracture. I'd done my growth bone there and the back of my ankle there, so it was the physio and all that was like a 4 week plan. So yeah, I dropped out, done my physio, and I started getting to the gym then. So to rehab the ankle, doctor was like, why don't you join the local gym and do a few calf raises, give me little plans. I was down there doing that for the legs, and then I ended up just experimenting with a few weights, chest press machines, a few dumbbells and that. I was like, oh, you love this. So I was like, look, you boys now, flat in the gym. I was like, I'm going to keep doing this. And I remember I seen like a few PTs in the gym, they were training people. I was like, that looks like a great job. Like, I love it in here, I love being here. They're getting paid to be here. How can I be one of those? And they're like, well, you know, I'll do a college course, but you need to finish school. I was like, oh, no way. I'm at the chopping out. Then I was looking online, like, how can you do a fitness course? I did a leaving cert, same one, private college, elite academy. And there's a part-time course and a full-time course. And I was like, well, I'll do the part-time one now because I don't want to jump in and not be able for it. I was only 17, you know. So paid for the course, went in straight away, done that, smashed it. We had 2 30 tests and what they call like a physical test. Passed them all first try, and yeah, got me certificate for that and went straight into the gym. But it was still in COVID time, so the gym wasn't open at this time. So I was in there just like with the boys. I was bringing them in on the sly and I was training them up, getting like transformation pictures and that. And then the gym back opened, I was straight in as an instructor and I was doing PT on the side. So I was doing spin classes, boxing classes, all that, and I loved it. And I don't do it anymore now, I haven't really got the time, but I'd love to go back and keep doing classes. It was great boys, you know what I mean? But that was my first job really. So
yeah,
well, I had a job in a pub and that was me kind of, I really say it, like a job that you hate type of buzz. And when I'd done a week there, I was like, oh, I cannot do something like this for the rest of my life. That was a little, one of them ones where I knew that I wasn't cut for 9 to 5, you know. I know like personal training is a 9 to 5 in a way, well, probably more 9 to 10 or sometimes because you're in Lee with clients. But I loved it that much that I didn't find that as work, you know.
So you were willing to do a 9 to 5, yeah, just once or something that
exactly,
you
yeah, for, yeah, exactly. That job in the pub, like, taught me that I need to do something that I love and that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
So that's when I went down that route anyway. So yeah, kept going to the gym. Was loving that, done that for about a year and a half. And then yeah,
you're saying there, Ben, as well, sorry if I couldn't across you again. You're saying there about you're too busy to do that now.
Mm.
Which you are.
Yeah, it will be.
The DJ thing, Calvin, you want to talk about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you get into doing the DJ?
Yeah, what, last August, I was always wanted to get into DJ and my mates were doing it. And it's an easy thing to pick up, to be honest. Like, it's handy. It's very handy.
It is.
It's just more like...
And I think if you come from Dublin, you kind of have like a head start as well. Yeah. You already have a good taste.
It is, yeah, exactly. Definitely agree with that. So I was doing it last May, posted that I was a DJ, got a few press shots, banged them up, and I got like a good few bookings in the month of May. And then I went off and lived in Mallorca then for 2 months, and I kind of forgot about it. And then when I got back then in August, Danny, our manager now for New Era, was like, "Are you still DJing?" I was like, "No, not really, but I want to get back into it." And he was like, "Right, well, I have a kid here, Carl. He's a producer, very, very good. Why don't you just jump in the studio together and you can teach him how to make music and you can teach him how to DJ?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course, let's do it." Because I wanted to learn how to get into the producing sort of things then to make my own tunes. So we got in the studio, me and Carl clicked straight away. And then we're in the studio for about 4 or 5 days. He was teaching me how to make the music and I was teaching him DJing. And Danny was like, "Why don't you just become a Joe? Like, he's about young, good looking young, but like, he's good, smash it. Ben's got the social media following here. He can market and get off the ground." And that's what we done. Like, it was a perfect mix, you know what I mean? All the ingredients were there. So yeah, we come up with the name New Era and just went for it, yeah. Made the song Boards in the Sky, literally a Sunday morning, just chilling in the studio. Got this vocal off Splice, which is an app where you can go on and just take vocals for, you pay monthly fee for it. And then once you have the vocal, you ain't got to pay nobody. These artists, they sell their vocals to Splice, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, found the vocal, never heard it before. I'm like, this sounds good. It was really low at the start, like, it was like, "What a wonderful world, my darling," would it sound like that? And we pitched it up. And then it sounded a bit more high pitched, and then we made the beat, banged it over, and we were like, "This could be the one, you know." Literally took 2 hours. We banged it on TikTok that night, and it started blowing up. Then everyone was like, "What's this song called?" Everyone texts me, ring me, "What's that tune? Have you got that down?" I was like, "It's not even out yet, but it's our tune." Like, so yeah, we had all over TikTok for ages, and everyone was like, "When's it coming out?" But with the music industry, a lot of people don't know, it takes time when you're with a label. So we actually signed the song to Warner Records. We got a 2-song contract, and we had to like get around all the, like, getting onto the Spotify and the playlist and all that. So it took like an extra 3 weeks to get it out. So everyone was pure fuming. But we got it out on the 8th of December and it just took off then.
Yeah, it's never off the radio now.
Oh, it's crazy, bro. Big shout
out. I'd say you hate that song.
Oh, yeah, hate the tune. Everyone else, sure, everyone does now, hearing it that much. But we market the hell out of it, you know. We done the 10 remixes, got James Doyle on it, Mazza from Liverpool. And yeah, it blew it up. Got the number one, was it, in the Dance UK charts, number 8 in the official Irish charts. So, yeah, done serious numbers, just hit, surpassed 30 million on Spotify there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that just took us off, really. Like, couldn't have been a better start. Like, no one really does that on the first tune, but you have to say the marketing behind it was clever, you know. You got Ali Sherlock and all singing it on Graham Street. That was all planned. I was walking past and all and capturing it. So, yeah, we smashed that into things. The song blew up, and then gigs are coming in left, right, and centre then, like, all over the country. We've done a full Irish tour then, and from February to May, and then we smashed that, and then we got a lot of abroad gigs. That's when all the flutes started kicking in. We had a 4-day tour every week for 4 weeks. It was Magaluf, Tamalia, the Cavos, the Zante. So this was daily crack, just literally landing in, doing the gig, getting another flight to this country, seeing all these new places, smashing these gigs, meeting new people, networking like hell. And yeah, it's a daily thing. Like, it's a serious job. And then just even the energy when you're playing in front of these crowds, the longitude was madness, walking out and everyone.
Videos from that were quality,
bro,
by the way.
Deadly. Just, yeah, it's a serious, serious job, and I want to keep pursuing it, you know. So dropped that last tune there, Dance For You, 2 Fridays ago. That took ages to come out as well. Like, one thing with labels, they take that time, man. Like, it's not selling yourself, but like, they do have control, you know what I mean? That's what I hate. I want to kind of go on our own now with a standing around record label up. So I go on now is to kind of take the couple that they give us and the marketing experience that we got off them and like the systems they have in place to then use on our own label and keep the full 100%, you know, instead of being told with some bloke in an office, right, you're dropping on that date. No, drop on this date, you get me?
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to start having full control of what we're doing. But yeah, album there in the locker, you know what I mean? Like, bangers, and it just furiates me that we can't just release them now, you know what I mean? Because it's all in that contract. Yeah. We just want to get it all out there and show the world what we have, like, because boys, we've some serious tunes there, like, and yeah, it'll all come out one day, but just take us time, you know, step by step.
He's going straight to Belfast after this.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah?
Yeah, playing a festival tonight on a 6:30 Fela festival, 15,000 people. And you're coming in late and all.
Yeah. Sorry, bro. Yeah.
No, I'm good, I'm good.
20 minutes left. You have to get the bell.
I'm
only
about 3 o'clock.
Get
up.
Fair play.
Smash it.
Class, but Neil Ward just blew up, really.
Yeah, as well. That's what I was saying.
It's recognised now.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it wasn't, like, at first, I probably, like, he would, what, it is, yeah. He was young,
yeah.
And now it's like, Neil Ward,
yeah.
It's there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's official.
Literally, bro. Literally, yeah. But I'm going to take it to another level. You can see this going big now. Just it has everything to go big. Like, Carl's smashing it on the social media now. He has over 150,000 followers. We're only showing him like what to do on social media. He killed it. So now he has his own persona now. It's not all just me, because at the start, everyone was just like, oh, it's off the back of Ben. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which, like, I did take it off the ground with my platform.
Yeah, of course.
Supposed
yeah.
to do. Like, I have it there, but we're not use it. But now Carl's at the killing it on that game. So now it's new era as a duo, Carl and Ben. You know what I mean? Shout out to Spain. I had to do on a 7-week weekly residency on the Friday night. So that got us like, that has 750,000 viewers every week. So that's just hitting the whole country. You know what I mean? The song blew up. Social media is flowing. So, like, we're going to go big with this no matter what. You know what I mean? I can't not.
How do you manage to juggle everything, man?
Everyone asks me this, bro. I think I might have ADHD, like you boys. And don't be tapping my leg like that constantly now. I don't know. I love to be busy, and I hate not being busy. I hate having nothing to do, you know what I mean? So every day I have tasks, and that's what drives me. I have to go and train, one thing, of course, for me free. I have to go and get 3 videos up my page, 2 videos on the New Era page, my Instagram, the New Era Instagram, all the businesses, the vodka business, the clothing brand, fucking what, the UCC. That's 7 things there, like off the bat. My coaching business, 8 there, you know what I mean? So I just love being busy, bro. And yeah, it could be ADHD, I don't know.
Absolutely, man.
Driven, bro. I just want to be successful, and I want to have a vision of what my life wants to be. And I want to be rich, and I want to be a role model, and I want to leave a legacy. So for that to happen, you got to graft, and that's what I'm doing, you know what I mean?
That's why I don't want to. I know I say this to you all the time, Ben. I think influencers in general get a bad, bad rap, like online, like, you know, people just love to hate on influencers.
Yeah.
And I don't see how anyone can hate on what you do. And I've said this here before. Yeah. You're 20 years of age, like.
That's how I feel like that as well.
You're a young flat, and look at the things you're doing, but the amount of kids that are looking up to you in terms of the boxing, the DJing, the club brand, like you said, you're 20.
Yeah, yeah.
There's so many kids that are watching you. It's not like as if you're on promoting, you're not online going, all right, I was out late last night, got locked falling around the nightclub. Yeah. Like, it's not all this bollocks. It's not. And none of it is fake either.
Yeah, exactly.
You're just really grinding.
That's it. That's it. All it is, bro. It's a grind, and we love it. I just, as I said, have that vision for where your life wants to be. And for me to get there, as I said, I need to do this, this, and this, and this, and that, and that, and that, and that, to get there. So I'm going to do it all. And just make sure it gets done correctly to a high standard every day. Show up every day, you know. And it does get tough. Like, even with that, as I said, the last week when the pressure got to me, it still does get to me. Sometimes I get stressed when shit needs to get done and I'm trying to do this and that. But it's always about overcoming it, innit? And then that's what builds character and makes you grow as a person. So
I'm
grateful for everything that's going on constantly. Yeah, and it's just going upwards and upwards every day. So, yeah, very grateful. Very grateful.
So, your fight's the end of the month, Ben.
Yeah.
What's after that?
Yeah, after that then. So, when I win this one, we will get the belt shot off Jarvis. His name is. He's an American bloke in Qatar. And look, November. So, over to the desert. Make a bit of noise over there. Drop a few more tunes. We're looking to go into another deal with Sony and Ministry of Sound. Really good label. We met with the gaffer there in Liverpool 2 weeks ago. Sound fella, and he wants the best for us, you know what I mean? After this guy, he wants us like to the top. Calvin Harris, David Guetta, and that's who we want to be. So you need a team around you constantly that want better for you. And that's why I need to like just pick my circle correctly now with every aspect I'm going into. So with this next deal, we actually wanted to meet the guy in person, and he wants good for us. He wants to get in the room with all these big artists, release 5 songs under his label, and yeah, just smash this next 4 years in Qatar, get the belt around the waist. Bang out a few more tunes, keep the businesses going good, and yeah, blow up and make a few quid and inspire a few people.
As you do.
Ben, what's better? The crowd at one of your gigs?
Oh, what a question.
Or the crowd at a fight?
I literally only got ashes, bro, with Misfits. Like, when you're DJing, you're just pressing buttons, you know what I mean? And I know you still have to go and perform and put on a show, which we do. It's easy though, I just think it's easy, you know what I mean? I don't get anywhere as nervous before going out to do a DJ set, Dan going out to the box.
That's because no one's trying to hit you when you're doing
it. True, yeah, no one's hitting you, yeah. Literally.
Unless you're shy.
We haven't had that yet, thank God. Oh, here's a funny story, actually. Listen to this. This is a crack, are you? Never had a bad experience DJing until this happened to me. So I was playing down, I don't know where this was, in the middle of nowhere, right with a gig. Thank God it was an under 18s, yeah. So we're on the way down. It's about 3 hours away and about 2 hours down. And Arden and me, he's like, he carries all that stuff and all, and brings that stuff and drives us and all. And he goes, boys, the DJ bag. I said, you joking me. So the USB's in the bag, the headphones in the bag, we've none. So me, I'm showing up on our own, yeah. I'm like, no way. So we rock in and I said to the DJ, look, yeah, we've had to forget our stuff. And that's paying good money for us to come down. He's like, are you serious? Like, you're supposed to be this big act and you can't even bring up the USB.
Good job, like.
Good job, yeah. One of them ones, and he's fuming, yeah. So he goes, look, let me just use one. We only had a half an hour set. And he goes, right, banged his one in, took his headphones. And about 20 minutes in, there's loads of kids in front of us. It's about 16, 17 year olds, probably a bit younger, 14, 15. Thank God as well. So I see this tune then, and it's a Joel Curry out remix, not a song 10. That what yeah. going out. I said, this is a serious tune. I'll bang this on. So I skip it in to, just to listen to it in the headphones before I goes out. And I heard 10, 9, 8 goes down to 1, yeah, but I didn't let it go down to 1. I just heard 10, 9, 8, and I got my build up, yeah. I was thinking, right, this is going to go 10 down to 1, and then 10, that what going yeah. right? I said to Carl, this is going to be a serious tune. He goes, what is it? I goes, just listen. He's pure like, right, bangs it on, mixes it in, and then the 10, no, the countdown comes on, and everyone's coming in, the flashes and all are on, right, and pure hands in the air, right? Oh, boy, as it gets down to 3. 2, 1, Happy New Year. Look, in the middle of February, boys.
No,
and a mad nursery rhyme comes on, like just the worst drop I've ever heard in my life. And I looked up at Danny and Aaron, and they are crazy laughing. And yeah, I looked at the DJ then that gave us the USB, and he's just like that. He was fucking real.
red
in the face. I nearly left, bro. I said, hey, I can't go back from this, can I? Thank God it weren't a proper gig, like an over 8 days, you know what I mean? It was only like a disco.
That's the worst of falling off the stage of the live show, Cal.
Oh, yeah,
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to actually comprehend that, boys.
Oh, brother, this was heavy. You know, Carl looked at me and just thought, what are you at doing? I had to tell him, this is serious to him, bro. Yeah, it's going to count down and all. It's going to be a good drop. I should have listened to the last play and the drop of it. I just heard 10, 9, 8. I was like, bang that on. Serious tune. No. And I went on for like 20 seconds. I was like, can't mix it in, bro. Change the song. And he's trying to find another tune, but it's not even near USB, so he's trying to find another tune. And it's a pure epoxy blade, no shit going on. Everyone's just like, what's this? Do you get me? The build up to it, they just, oh, Happy New Year, middle of February.
Calvin, that's a zinger. What's worse, playing the Happy New Year song in the middle of February or falling off the stage?
Did you fall off the stage?
No.
But we always say.
It's as big as fair.
It's my biggest fear.
It will be a bad one.
And there's like a carpet and all on the stage and a couple of words and things.
Yeah.
You'd be thinking, imagine I just kicked that and fell. Because you can't.
Can't get back from that.
You'd seriously hurt yourself if you fell off the stage.
Yeah, you would. There's a little drop, yeah.
You really would hurt yourself.
Nah, yeah. Definitely.
So, yeah.
Sorry. I was watching the Olympics last night on the steeplechase, and a man fell over the blade and barrier, boys, and he bounces out of the ground. He's knocked out. It was the last bend.
Was he?
The last bend, yeah. He was like, bounce off the ground. That's what happened on stage.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll ever go back to that club again anyway.
Yeah.
But thank
as
God.
As you said, look, they're all kids. Yeah. So you played the nursery rhyme for the kids.
Worked out well in the
audience.
Everything happens for a reason, as I said. Do you know what I mean? The universe looking after me that.
Imagine it was longitude or something.
Oh, mate.
What did you do? Yeah, fuck. You'd have to walk out.
Listen to this, longitude as well. This was down to actually being unprepared. We done Crazy World with Curtis Dignam remix.
Yeah.
And we had it already, you know. We had our shit laid out, but we didn't put the foil onto the USB for some reason. I don't know why we didn't do it. I came back from Cavos the night before. I don't even know we went on this tour because we should have been just like all that prepared, week should have been longitude. But we went on the tour and we forgot about a few things. And that was the one thing we forgot about. Put the foil on the USB so it's on it, get me? And we're happy to say, and Carl just like, looked at it. It was going to be our last song. She was going to come out and perform it for the final tune. And he looked and he took them crazy and then come up. And he's like, oh my God, the same thing. So the middle of our set, we had this song that come on. It was like technical difficulties. All the screen went black and then all the lights went off. And then we walked off stage. Carl runs off and goes, Aaron, take your USB, run to my laptop, this is the password, put the song on the USB and get back. So your man, longitude, puts him on the buggy, flies back, Aaron's on the laptop, puts it on, comes back on then, literally 5 minutes before the end, and he runs on, hands it to Carl. Thank fuck for that. So then, yeah, that one worked out well, but oh my God, that was a poxy feeling, because bro, you've literally 10,000 people in front of you. And then she's ready to go. We didn't tell Curtis either.
Yeah.
She found out at the end. She was like, you was at dopes.
Yeah.
We didn't tell her because she would have been stressed out.
Fucking right, she would have been.
Oh, mate.
You should know now. Before you go out, make sure you have everything on your USB, man.
Make sure you have the USB. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Lesson learned. Hard lessons, but. Yeah, yeah. Just live and learn, bro. And you make mistakes along the way, but it's all about learning.
Learning from them, yeah.
Exactly.
I've got the plug.
Yeah, clothes there.
Yeah,
yeah. I brought the boys in a few clothes there, so it's a bit dead in the water at the moment. My clothing brand, we started 2 years ago, and yeah, again, we're learning from mistakes. We made a few mistakes. We went to a dodgy supplier, and somehow the drops went missing. We put like go a few quid into it, and the agent was sending the products by train. She was sending them by plane, and she was pocketing the money, sending them by the train, and it was taking months to get here, and then end up getting lost. So right now, I'm just ready to get back into it. Reinvest and yeah, get it going again because it was doing well at the start. But yeah, it's called Endure Active Wear. I love the name Endure, just sticks with me, you know what I mean? Like, again, show something that's hard.
Yeah,
so yeah, we're looking to blow this up, get supplements coming in down the line. And yeah, me vodka I'll show you the bucket, will you?
Yeah, be good.
Maybe just scan it, will you?
Now, I don't drink, so you'd want to get this on my hand. Bastard, this should you be up end.
Tap the bottom of it.
Tap the bottom of it?
Yeah.
You're better.
Oh, stop.
Tap it again.
How does man say?
Well, it's called Edison Vodka. Who made the loop up?
Thomas Edison. Half the game wrapped
well,
up.
Well, not really. Tesla.
Pretty sure.
Probably robbed the idea from him, yeah.
Who did?
He's Thomas Edison robbed
it? Yes, but I'm pretty sure Thomas Edison like,
he's brought it up. From
yeah. But yeah, this is a project we have now. I was just thinking, like, what products can we have to market with the music? And fuck it, like, everyone drinks at the festivals and the gigs, so we do have this in front of the decks lit up, so it's good. And yeah, it tastes banging. It's made in the UK. But yeah, I want to blow this up now. Myself and my partner, Mikey Taylor. He's known as Taz. He's a rapper from Manchester. Yeah, we brought it out together, so yeah, it's a good mix. Then obviously with the fighting, I can market the clothes we're wearing at when I'm training. All that. Yeah, it's pretty much it. Anything else? Me boxing promotion, UCC. Next event is on the 14th of September. We've two American fighters flying in, a UK guy flying in. So, yeah, we're expanding that now and hopefully get that to the UK soon enough. And, yeah, we've three shows so far. First one sold out. Second one just fell short. So, looking to sell this one out now next. And, yeah.
Class. Look, Ben, we really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, it was a solid, Ben.
You really did. Look, that man. Was a short notice. And we really do appreciate it, bro, man.
Best of luck. Pleasure to be on, lads.
You know that I'll support you with everything two of us will. You know what I mean?
Just same keep doing your thing. Always.
And keep promoting all the fucking good things that you're doing, bro.
Yeah, and yours too.
Before we wrap up, again, thanks to Flyfe who are sponsoring this podcast. Many locations, 30?
20.
And how much per month?
35.
And what's the website?
Flyfe.ie.
Get on, get your membership now.
Take a wrap.
Boom.
Go Loud presents Talking Bollocks. Proudly supported by FlyFit. Smash your fitness goals guided by expert trainers at FlyFit. Visit flyfit.ie to sign up now. Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up.
The hip knocker.